We are recording.
Good morning. I am Dave Ramsey. I serve as chair of the Leon County Research and Development Authority. Today is Thursday, March the 8th. The time is 11:12, and we are convening a meeting of the executive committee. The first item is to call a meeting to order, and we have done that. Introduction of guests, and I'm going to ask Ron to introduce a little bit of Mike. We've all met him, I think, but Ron, from what I can tell so far it's been a good hire.
I don't know yet. I'm going to reserve judgment, but no, it's been great. Michael, you've all seen Michael's resume, and we've started making the rounds and meeting a lot of folks. Yesterday we met with Steve Evans. We've met with Gary Ostrander. We're working our way over to meet with Tim Moore, try to get that on the agenda. He impresses everyone he talks to. And we're getting a benefit, I think, that we really didn't plan for going into this thing. I think we really kind of had a focus on how do we develop local entrepreneurs and commercialize the technology here using local entrepreneurs. I think he's really going to bring to us some business attraction capabilities. I think with his knowledge and connections out in the real world, outside of Tallahassee, I think there's going to be some opportunities there. And I think that's what impressed, Steve Evans a lot, thinking about OED and the things that they're trying to accomplish. The Magnetics Task Force, he has asked us to set up a meeting with Ricardo Schneider to see about getting Michael on that task force. So lots of really impressing people as we go around and make those introductions. But he's going to tell you a lot more about what he's thinking and what he's been working on in his piece of the agenda today. So far great. Everything's been great. And it's just wonderful to have someone who can dedicate themselves to this project, because the more I see what he's doing, the more I understand how overwhelming it would have been for us to try to tackle it without the help. So I'm just really excited about it. Things are moving quickly, and he, like I said, he's going to tell you more about that when we get to this piece.
You're not going to tell us that you have nothing to do now, though, are you?
You know, it's funny. It feels like I have more to do.
Yes.
Just more of the stuff on the list that I can go after, and I'm going to tell you. When I get to my report, you'll see what all's going on, and it's been amazing how much activity we've had in the last couple of months. So it's all good.
Good. All right, thank you. Mike, you want to say anything? You're welcome to make a comment now. I know you have some stuff to talk about later, but any introduction, comment?
No, first, I appreciate what Ron said and getting to meet everybody in the community. And it's been a whirlwind, as you probably guessed, in the first month. But I've met a lot of folks that have been very receptive to me being here and bringing some fresh ideas, if not new. And that's been great. So I very much appreciate it. Got a lot done in a month's time, and we'll go over some of that later. I probably should step out, though, when you're talking about me, because that's weird for me to hear.
Guess what? Welcome to the public meeting.
Yeah. Sunshine.
Yeah.
So are you settled in?
You can read next week. So
I'm temporarily settled in. So I'm in transitional housing until I find where I want to be at. But
family?
Wife and I.
But everybody's
and everything's been wonderful. In fact, right. The comments at home are all about the nice people we've been meeting.
Wonderful. Southern hospitality.
Absolutely, and she's from North Carolina, so she enjoys the nice people, believe me, because we've been up north quite a bit.
Where in North Carolina?
She's from the coast. Shalote area between Wilmington and North Myrtle Beach on the coast. Mm-hmm. And she loves moonlight pies.
She grew up with sand between her toes.
You need to take her
away. She did.
Mike, I do encourage you to do what you're doing right now. Get out this first month or so before you really get bogged down with lots of this or that, but to meet everyone you can in the community, to spread the word that we are continuing to make big strides here. You're part of that expanded efforts that we're making, and share a little bit about what your accomplishments will be. I don't think we can pat ourselves enough on the back of where our former chair has got us. I compliment them on bringing us forward to a point to where we're now ready, in my opinion, to really launch. We did a lot of damage control for a lot of years. We did a lot of rebuilding our administrative efforts and our team. But with Ann and Kristen and others who have got us to this point, I'm proud to be part of it myself. I'm proud to follow in your footsteps. So, Mike, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask if there are any modifications to the agenda.
No.
And hearing none, is there any public comment? And hearing none, and the draft minutes of the last meeting, which was held on November the 6th, pretty good a little time ago, have been available to you. The chair has reviewed them. They appear to be complete and accurate, in my opinion, but we open the floor for any discussion of revision, modifications, etc. Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the minutes of the November the 6th meeting?
So moved.
Second. And any discussion? Hearing none, motion's approved. The audit report, we've had some really, really good audits the last few years, some really substantial ones. I'm very pleased with where we've come from that. Mike, you may not know, but we had like 5 pages of serious problems that were determined in an audit we had. And within 1 year, we got it down to where there were no issues at all. And we pretty much kept it that way. So I'm interested in hearing about this audit. And Ron, are you going to give this report?
I think April could probably.
April, okay, you're the chair of that.
Sorry, I didn't really prep you for it.
No, that's okay. We had I would call it a squeaky clean audit. I kept looking for any little detail that, could be uncovered, but the auditors felt that we were in good shape. All of our policies and procedures are working as they should be. And there was no management recommendations or anything like that. We're all in good shape. So really good audit. And thanks to the staff for your work in that.
No findings anywhere?
No findings.
Well, those are kind of clean audits. We really like
yep.
that.
Yep. Yeah. And I pushed for anything. Yeah. But we were in good shape, so.
Would you like to move that we accept the audit and forward it to the board for its consideration?
Yes, I would.
Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, the motion's up for vote. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by like sign. Motion carries. Let's now talk a little bit about the mortgage building, the mortgage building lease. And Ron, you're on the mortgage building. Wow.
Yes, exactly.
The news is there is no mortgage. I was approached by FSU Facilities. They are in the process of renovating the old Elbit building, the IT services building now. Actually, they call it TSB, Technology Services Building. So they need a temporary home for their staff while they do the renovations. So we are trying to prepare this so that when they're ready to pull the trigger, we can do it. We don't have to wait for the next meeting to get it done. The form of the lease is the standard university form that the board previously approved. There really are no major deviations from that other than the basic terms, which we're right now looking at a 12-month term and then a month-to-month thereafter with, I believe we said 30 days notice of termination, so that if they run over on construction, they can stay there for a little while longer.
Is it already negotiated?
I'm sorry.
Is terms and conditions that already
negotiated? Generally speaking, yes. I've had conversation with IT services. I've told them the rate is $1,660, which is that's our standard rate. I've told them the 12-month term, the month-to-month, they're okay with that. The only question is what actual square footage there is. Mm-hmm. So they're actually over there today with their lasers and measuring everything, and they have their own calculations, and I've asked for a copy of that. I mean, I think it's even in statute that they have to follow way of measuring.
Hallways between two different tenants don't count, and
yes.
Bathrooms don't count.
Yeah. So we're trying to get all those numbers in place, but we think it's around 11,000 square feet. So the total lease, gross lease, is about $185,000 per year, and net, I'm looking at probably around $130,000, which is a nice chunk.
Net was how much a year?
What's that?
What'd you say the net was per year?
About $130,000.
Yeah.
That's just ballpark based on the other occupied square footage that we have. I don't expect any necessarily higher utility usage or anything like that. So the biggest challenge will probably be parking. The good news is we still have the Collins Building parking lot next door that we can use for overflow. I'm still trying to get a head count, but it could be as many as 100 people. So that's what they said. I just don't see it. I don't see it. Because I honestly, when I drive by there and I see their parking lot, I don't see 100 cars out there.
They were around the clock or something.
Yeah, it could be shifts. I don't know, we didn't want to talk about that, but. But anyway, so right now, I talked to facilities yesterday, and they said it's about a 90% done deal. Okay, so, I mean, they're trying to figure out where everyone's going to go. They're going to have to, we will not have to spend any money to get, other than some minor, you know, minor repairs and things to get, make sure all the lights are working. I don't think we're going to have the problems we had at the Johnson Building where we had light bulbs fused into sockets and things that had to replace whole fixtures, and so far we haven't seen anything like that. We've got some really horrid carpet in there, but they said it's fine. The orange stuff in Beaches and Shores from 1980, whatever, they're fine with that. The good news is their alternative was to go into trailers. So that space is looking really good right now.
Yeah.
So but we'll make a few cosmetic fixes, some missing, you know, coating, ceiling tiles and things like that, but otherwise there's no real big cost to get them in there. So, and my recommendation, and this is not actually the time to do that, but before staff decides how to spend $130,000, you know, on new staplers. And, anyway,
it'll be hard to do.
I'm getting a reputation for tight, you know, being really tight in the budget. So,
and I break things.
And, yeah. Anyway, I think we need to keep in mind that the cliff that we've got with the Phipps Building and DOT, and we really need to make sure we got a reserve in place to cover that $500,000 that's going to be, it's going to hit us in 4 years and six months. Mm-hmm. So anytime we have an opportunity to put some of that away. Now, granted, we still are going to have some issues in the future with even just renovating Morgan Building and getting it leasable, but in the meantime, I just got to make sure we don't overcommit. So anyway.
Kim, are you comfortable with 1660? Is that market for you, what you see as a market?
That's full service, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's really a deal for them.
For Class C?
Mm-hmm. Around the campus? There's not a whole lot like that.
Yeah.
That's why they would be going to trailers instead.
Yeah.
Or taking that old apartment building and trying to go.
But in terms of the general market in Tallahassee for Class C office space?
I'm not in office rooms. I'm in courthouse rooms and some strips, but I'd say that's a, I don't know what the difference is between the net lease and the, all those expenses, but if the net lease was 130 or 11,000, I guess you're about 10 or 14, about 12 hours.
Yeah, it's, the costs are about just under $5.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a good number. I did.
Yeah. And it's also what we leased the Anthropology for. Actually, I think it might have been $16.50 for Anthropology. And I think that was, I can't remember what we did with Park Service, but it was, and that in Park Service, we got a big increase because they were like at, I don't know, $8 or something.
For bank things, you didn't have to come out of pocket.
Right, and that's, if we had to do a lot of other improvements, definitely we had to factor that in. But, and this is a one-year deal, it's in, it's out, it's, not that it won't be without its challenges, but particularly on the parking lot. And other tenants will have to get used to actually having other people in the building.
With kind of regard to this lease, is this the time we might do a little review of what our lease policies are for future lease rates?
Lease rates?
Yeah.
I mean, we can get that in the hopper, but once we do this, we will be 100% occupied for leasable space. Now, Collins won't be, but that's going to be a whole different ballgame. Mm-hmm. And I'll get to the Collins Building when it's my turn, but we'll talk more about that.
It would seem, acknowledging it 100%, some point we all review that lease rate to make sure.
Oh, absolutely. That's an ongoing process. Because, you know, the market changes and, you know, the challenge is we're not, it's hard to compare us to other office space. You know, it's a very unique arrangement that we have out here, and we're very limited on the kinds of things we can put out here. That changes the formula a little bit. We're not downtown where, you know, rates are high. We're not near retail where rates are high. You know, we're out in the suburbs. So.
But you're on the new gateway.
Yes.
Which I think is a huge
sea
change. Absolutely. That we need to be looking at. And even if it were just looking at, okay, the Collins Building, here are the leases in place, here's what they're paying, here's the expiration of those leases, you know, and just putting it all in, and you probably have that.
Well, there's some other elements to that with the Collins Building, for example, that we're looking to attract certain kinds of companies. So we will not necessarily be charging market rate rent in all of those deals. But the other thing that we've done, you know, by filling up, we've created scarcity, which ought to drive the price up anyway. So in the past, we've had so much vacant space, we really had to, you know, take what we could get. But yeah, with the, you know, once we're fully leased and we're just churning at that point, then we can afford to increase rates a little bit. And the other thing I'm doing is I'm on all new leases or renewals with FSU, is I'm starting to pump those up because most of those were at 14.50. Which goes back a ways, and again, it was because we were losing tenants faster than we could get them, and we couldn't afford to really just keep jacking up rates. And a lot of those are tied to grant funding, and you know, they have limitations on their ability to pay as well. So,
yeah, our warehouse rates are $6 triple net expenses. You would run about $1.35 or something like that. So we'd be at $7.35. But I think when you get to all office, all conditions space, it's going to go up in price. And I guess we still are responsible for maintaining those ACs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think $16 is too low. I think it's a good number.
To your point, Dave, about reviewing the lease rates, that's what I was going to mention. I think we've done it. Ron's been very good about focusing on old leases every time there's renewed. So that was kind of our deep dive on this in the past. This is the first time we've been fully occupied, Collins aside, since any of us have been working on the board. I mean, this is a remarkable milestone.
In my first 6 months is when DEP moved out of Collins Building.
Yep.
And
Welcome.
Yeah.
Well, first they called me and said, how much are you going to cut our rent by?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's always a first call.
Yeah.
You have heard a recommendation from staff. Is there further comment needs to be brought?
We have
a motion.
Second.
And we have a second.
Can I add on to that?
Yes.
A request, and that is that if we have minor deviations in the terms of the agreement as we finalize this thing, that the chair be authorized to approve those changes.
I would make my motion.
Both motions are seconded and amended. And amended is now seconded and approved. So those in favor of the presentation as amended, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by like sign, motion carries. Next discussion is on the trail agreement. And Ron, you have the floor.
Okay, so
Ron, can I jump in really quick?
Go ahead.
Just before you even get into any of this. So this will be on my agenda. Ron will go through this on the 27th of March, so I'm going to recuse myself from the vote on the executive committee, since it's a county vote on the other side, vote on both sides, and we'll work on getting those recusal forms. Gary and I will be working on that with you, Peggy. Yeah.
Thank you for remembering that.
Yes, I had my note here, but I guess I'll leave it to the discretion of the other members of the executive committee. I could comment on it. If you all want, normally in recusal, I would not participate in the discussion, but as a county voice, I will reserve my comments for that side if you all want me to participate, or else I'll sit the conversation out, which is why I wanted to jump in before Ron gave his presentation.
Okay.
Good. Okay.
Good.
So this is another one we've been working on diligently, trying to get the final agreement. Well, we finally got the final agreement yesterday through the county attorney's office. I didn't count them up, but I think it was probably like 15 iterations of back and forth on this contract. And it's really not a complicated contract if you look at it. So I believe it was Ann's suggestion at the last meeting that we looked to FSU to maybe do the trail. And I just am trying real hard not to rely on FSU for things, because we're trying to demonstrate to them that we can provide benefit to them. But I have no qualms about going to the county. So I had a conversation with Ken Morris, and Ken was like, yeah, no problem. We'd love to help. And so he put me in touch with Charles Wu, who is in the Public Works Department. And so we worked diligently with them. If you recall, they were the ones who did the original estimates for the trail as well. So they kind of were familiar with it. They did the original, you know, sort of schematic for it and the cost estimate, which the board approved. So this contract basically puts it all in their court, gives them a year. It'll be a design bid build. So they'll design it. We'll have input into the design, obviously. Then they will bid it. At the end of the bids, we will have the option to terminate the contract if we don't like the bids. If we decide it's more than what we have budgeted, we would just be responsible for the design costs, basically. It is a great service they're providing for the total sum of about $2,000. It's 2% of the construction costs. They are truly, truly helping us.
Do they actually take their stuff out here and build it when we get to that point, or do they subcontract?
They contract it out. It's my understanding. They're going to bid it out.
Yep.
So that's the good news. The bad news is, once they found out that they were going to do it, they went back and re-estimated the costs, and the cost estimate went up. Now, I'm not saying it's because they were going to be on the hook for the estimate, and they're not really on the hook for it, but they did give themselves a lot more room.
The price of construction in Tallahassee is going through.
And that was
not enough subs to do.
Yeah,
work.
And that was the argument.
They just forward numbers.
Yeah, that was the argument, and I understand that too. But I mean, they also padded the contingency. It went up from 20% to 25%, and I can show you the budget. It's in the packet, but. So it went up to $184,000.
Mm-hmm.
What, that 184?
We had $150,000 budgeted, and that was what the board approved in the budget. Somewhere down here. Right, so if you recall, this is the basic design. We will have to look at this easement. There was an easement there, and I've stumbled across some documentation on it, but I've got to find out if it's still there, if something changed. But even if there's not, I don't think we're going to have a problem with FSU, because they're going to want their folks to have access to it, and this would give access to everyone over here. I'd still like for them to knock down this over here and give me a trail through here, but I don't think that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Right now, given the property that we control, this is probably the best access, and I don't think they're going to want to chop this up at this point to give, you know, which would give Dan Foss and the folks over here more access. But, you know, after all, it is about walking, so if you got a little walk a little ways to get to the trailhead, that's helpful. And then the other good news is, this is where they're building the short stay facility. I'd like to call it extended stay, but they call it short stay.
Where is that?
Back right here, and this okay. Where it keeps popping up. So they'll have direct access to the trail as well for those mm-hmm. folks, which would be really
cool. And you have a question?
Yeah, I'm sorry if this is stupid, because I have not really reviewed this. Is there anything in the document so far that says sort of what kind of trail it is?
What surface?
Yeah, so they don't come back and say, it's going to cost
$200,000
more. Because a trail is not just a trail, you know.
You know, we have discussed that, and it does not, you're right, it does not actually say that. I thought it said at some point in here, the material, it says multi-use trail.
Seed and mulch.
Yeah, it's this is the actual trail piece.
What is the material going to be?
It's going to be a the same surface they have out at Pedrick Library at the pond or next to the library.
Okay, it says 6 feet wide, multi-use. Yeah, I think that's okay.
Yeah, and when we have discussed that. It's not going to be paved. It'll be a permeable surface. It's a crushed shell, basically.
Do they float?
What's that?
Does the shell float? I mean, if you're flooding, would it be more likely to wash away than dry?
Go ahead.
At the discretion, go ahead.
Yeah. I don't know at this point. I don't.
You want me to jump in?
Yeah.
So it's again from county side. This crush base, it's easier. My understanding, it's easier in a floodplain area more than a hardscape, but it is ADA accessible. Because it's so hard packed, so that's part of it for multi-use, and we use it at a lot of trails. It can wash away in heavy flooding. There could be, or heavy rains, there could be more maintenance, but depending on the depth and how they construct it, that can prevent some of that, but it is accessible. And that was a key piece when we were looking at this before, but I think being so close to the water and with the flood plant, everything like that was
and we'll have to look at that, we've got a pretty good size easement, a recreation easement around the pond, so I think we'll have some latitude, at least on this end, what we can see. We know it rarely goes, I can't remember, even in the worst of times, it never really came above the bank. Now the floodplain, like back here, goes all the way to the deck. The 100-year flood zone is to the deck, so yeah, that's obviously a risk.
Well, I don't think the rising water is going to make this flow away. I was thinking more that
it's the just the runoff. Okay.
We may long term. I've seen this on the Miccosukee Greenway. There may be a couple of areas that you see where the water, you know, has kind of a natural flow. We discover that later, and it may need some reinforcing or something like that if it's washed out in one area. But by and large, when I've seen these trails in a lot of different areas, they hold up very well.
Pedrick, they actually had to build a bridge because I think it washed out at one point. And so they just built a bridge right over the part that kept washing out.
Mm-hmm.
So... yeah, this is, this is going to take a little work to figure out. They have some engineering to do and some, you know, design work. It's a trail, but it's, you know, they've got to deal with those issues and part of that design. But we won't know until we get into it, what that stuff's all about, so.
Well, again, would be your recommendation that a lot of publicity be made of this and be opened up to the community?
I'd wait until we get the bids. We have, a tendency sometimes to over-advertise stuff before we... actually are ready.
I'm not talking about any time before we get it built, but the end use, assuming it's built.
Oh, absolutely.
It's going to be highly encouraged for the community to use it.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, one of the additions to the contract that I sent to you yesterday includes mention of public use, and that was brought up by the county attorney that if they're going to do this, they want to make sure it is available for public use, and we put in the contract that we would not unreasonably restrict public use. We do want to say it in such a way that we can control, you know, maybe it's time of day access and things like that, but maybe close, have it officially closed at dusk and open at dawn, that kind of thing.
And distance around it is what?
It's the total length is about 0.6 miles.
That includes access points?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, but the circular part is
I haven't much. I haven't measured that. I don't know.
All right.
Well, get on those hiking boots and measure that.
Actually, I think that's Michael's job. He's an outdoors guy. Okay.
Yeah, I loaned him my measuring wheel.
He's actually been out here surveying out in the woods, and he noticed that we had a manhole cover that was uncovered, and we needed to get maintenance out there. So he's reporting all the stuff he's finding out in the woods. So.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay, Hey, good job.
It was a pretty deep hole.
You heard a recommendation from staff that we approve the agreement with the Leon County for the design, permitting, and construction of the Central Pond Trail. Are there any questions that need to be brought to the table? Other comments that need to be brought to the table?
I think this, if this comes in pretty close to what we got here, I think it's a good deal for us. So I move it.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor of authorizing staff to proceed, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by like sign. Motion carries.
With one recused.
Yes, correct. One recusal. All right, we have now a agenda item to hear Michael talk a little bit. The director of entrepreneurship is now on the floor.
Great, and thank you for the time. What I did, because it's been a whirlwind, is put it into a brief PowerPoint presentation, mostly so it reminds me of what I've been doing, but I think it's easier for you to also see some of the things that have been
done. Hang on one second, I forgot to download your newest version.
But I can talk about it.
A little technical glitch here.
Basically what I did is I just listed an activity, I talked about what I was doing, and then gave the cue 1, 2, 3, or 4 where it'll be accomplished. And for the first couple of slides, it's basically doing meet and greets with everybody that I possibly can that have some stake in the process of what we're doing. And you'll see here that I've also looked at various assets that are available to others that are outside the community that I could use to attract into the community. So I've done a little inventory of assets, and basically that's what I've been doing this first quarter. So if you don't mind, Ron, actually I'll do it. I'll do it.
Oh. Is the battery dead?
Oh, never mind. Here. I'll do it. How's that?
You've got the mouse.
So. Yep. I forgot the most important thing. Yeah.
That's fine. This will work.
Will it?
This will work. Hey! All right, so with operations, there's two phases. One, obviously, is the Collins Building, which will probably be done in the first or the next 12 months. And then the second part is the brand new incubator that we've been talking about. So I've been doing all the policies and procedures for membership for both of those as programmatic services are being developed. We were looking for anchor tenants, and I think Ron's going to talk about that, but I just put...
We advanced it. We go.
Oh, did I? Sorry.
But we do have two companies interested in the Collins Building, which will take the majority of the space. I don't know if I'm talking out of turn or not. We didn't go over this, so we'll see what
we are
happens.
Now.
All right, here we go. Back.
There we go.
Okay, sorry about
that. One more. There we go. So also we're working on some website development so that it can be more specific to when the incubation portion comes in. So we'll have a sort of separate from the overall innovation park. And that's where we could have the forms for application forms. And that's where we can list the mentors and all the other things that we're doing. Actually, this says too early, but just today I got a call from an architect that said they'd be happy to meet and discuss plans for the new building, because what I'm looking to do is give some guesstimates on what it might cost, and I don't really know the market here. I can tell you from past experience that I've done buildings anywhere from $9 million up to $100 million, and so I need to know what the costs are. And Kim, I probably should have come to you first, but
not when you start building that stuff. you're talking about high end. We're mostly metal buildings and concrete floors, so.
Well, so I did some preliminary work on that, and it looks like it's anywhere between, say, 13 and 15 million, but based on what you just said about increasing costs, by the time it's all done, said and done, it'll probably be 20 million once we get it outfitted for everything that we need in there as well.
The numbers are staggering.
They really are, yeah. So that's going on three and fourth quarter. Do I have it now?
Yeah, you should have it. This is easier to use than the mouse.
I'm going to stand up. Just with the programmatic services, some of the things that I've been doing is figuring out what's already being offered, such as the EEP program, And I'm going to say enhancing it, or if it's great enough, then we'll just keep it. I'll be going to the March cohort that's starting up soon that Larry's doing. And based on what I've seen from Larry already, this guy's great. So it's going to be hard to step into his shoes, but I'm going to work on that. Also look at some unique offerings that I've done in other places that have been well received. I'll talk about specifics in a little bit. And then this is an ongoing effort to recruit the mentors and the subject matter experts and everyone that would be part of the group that helps to assist these businesses in moving along in the continuum from startup to hopefully commercialization. So those things are ongoing efforts. I have a lot of contacts in the past that I'll use as electronic mentors, but also developing my mentor group here locally. These are a little more specific than probably you need, but I just thought I'd throw them up there. It's always nice to have one of these electronic signboards that say, you know, welcome Congressman, whoever. Beyond the front desk services, so that we're not just a tenant organization, we're providing these programmatic services. I want to do something I call beyond the front desk reception, but also light office assistance, which helps a lot of these folks. Mail handling, virtual PBX would be a good one, so that we're answering on behalf of the companies and then transferring the calls in it. It gives them the appearance of being larger and more professional. And then marketing services, I find that a lot of these folks, especially scientists and engineers, they really don't know the marketing side, so they're clueless, and they need a lot of assistance with marketing. I've done it in the past when I had larger staff, and we would do marketing all the way from business card brochure design right on through trade show stuff. But I know that we have folks here that are well-versed in the community and those who will also be assisting the marketing efforts. These are all value add to the companies that will be coming into the program, again, not to be low-cost renters, but for the services that we provide. Marketplace assessment, again, a little too detailed to talk into. I guess I shouldn't just name them all. They're up here for your review, but these are the things that I'm working on and or that have been here, which I think are great programs.
Interrupt, and I don't think this is to you. I don't remember where we are with Larry. You mentioned filling his shoes.
Yeah,
where are we with?
So
he's doing this one.
Yes, and then he's done.
And then he's done.
We make our last payment this month.
Mm-hmm. Is he still going to be around?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Will he still help us?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, he's been very.
I didn't know if we
gracious.
Would need some kind of formal, informal arrangement with him to continue to be a resource.
If I recall, I think we did put something in his amended contract. But honestly, his motivation is.
He'll do it anyway.
Yeah, it's his baby.
That's right.
I mean, it's his baby. He wants to see
That's
it succeed.
Right.
And he's still under contract with FSU, Office
yes.
of Research. So as a partner there,
yes.
I think their interest is here, and their interest will increase as the program.
And I have
develops.
Talked to him about that. He is going to continue with FSU, and
just no reason for Mike to be completely reinventing the wheel. You know,
oh, he's not.
I prefer not to.
No,
it sounds like it's been quite. Successful.
He's handed over all of his materials from the past, and Denise has now been through the program, and she knows what's going on. So it's the biggest thing that we're going to have to accomplish is nailing down the volunteers who teach.
And I'll help you with that.
I appreciate that.
Because, as I think even Larry said, that it's not general knowledge for all these folks that he's done after this. But they may want to take that opportunity to back away from the program as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
they'll find somebody else.
Yeah.
I don't think they're on the way.
No, I don't think so. But Larry mentioned there might be one or two that
I mean, I serve on a committee that reviews at the end of the class, the pits that are made, and there's four or five of us, and sometimes everybody's not there, but
nobody
can do it that's there, but can do it,
And I think y'all enjoy that part.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely, it's fun.
Yeah. So.
Good to know. Nobody's going to abandon me if I...
Yeah.
One of the things that I was looking into, there doesn't seem to be a lot of BIR, STTR training in the area, although that's the primary source.
Yeah, I don't even know what it is, so obviously we don't have any other.
So small business research and tech transfer. One is for independent business owners, one is in conjunction with the university system. So they're co-PIs on the STTRs.
But you have a lot of gap folks that end up going for SBIR, SCTR?
You know, I haven't heard but a few of them in the last 7 or 8 years. I don't have a clue how important it is to gap people, but sometimes they've been directed that way, but okay. I don't know where they got it and went that way.
Well, the first training class will be for the board on on what, SBIR and SCTR.
And I've done a ton of these.
All I know is money.
Yeah,
it's money. It's the primary source for scientific and engineering technologies to get funded. It's the first in money typically. So I'm surprised that there isn't more activity. And what I did is I went to the SBIR, STTR site, and I looked and I actually saw only 3 SBIR TTRs that were awarded in Tallahassee in the last year. That should be probably 30.
Wow.
So one of the things I looked at is I said, well, where are these people getting their money then? It's gap funding, it's friends and family, it's their own pocketbooks, right? Which is great, you still probably need to do that, but this is, I hate to say easy money, but if you don't apply for it, you're not gonna get it. And I've been involved, most of the companies that I've been involved with in incubation have applied and won SBIR grants or SDTR grants. And so in this building we have—
Typically they're how much?
So there's 3 phases,
yep,
to SBIR, STTR. The first phase is usually around 125 to 225, depending on which agency. There's 16 federal agencies.
Is that
agencies.
Dollars or thousands?
Thousands, yes. It's 16 agencies that have various thresholds, but $125,000 to $225,000. And then phase 2 can be anywhere from $800,000 to $1.5 million. And if you do well on the phase 1, you're practically a shoo-in for phase 2. And we have one company here that just won a phase 2 award. So that's New Energy. And so phase 2, I mean, Rick's very knowledgeable in it, but no one else seems to be. So what I did during the Discovery Parade is I met with the FSU folks that also do training and development for their scientists and engineers, and we're going to co-sponsor or co-lead an SBIR, STTR event where they're going to do, they set up the panel already, actually, and then I'll do the presentation up front, sort of SBIR, STTR 101, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so those are some of the things that I think I can bring to the community that they're unaware of,
yeah,
for the most part.
Well,
and
that
should
sound
be.
Like, it sounds like the tech transfer was need to be.
Well, we talked to Gary Ostrander about it. We had Gary and Eric over here, and I mean, you can tell him what he said, which is that they kind of do it in house.
What they do is through mentorship. They do, some of the folks that have done it on their own, they get someone who's done it and help them. And matter of fact, he disagreed with my 3 in the last year, but he didn't give me a number. But that's what's on the. It's a public site, so that's what's out there.
Yeah.
So that's fine. My point is there needs to be more of this training activity. And the last one I was told from various sources was 2 years ago. And that should be twice a year, minimum, once every spring and fall.
Mm-hmm. And we do know a company that just got one.
We just received one, which allowed them to come into one of the buildings.
I'm working on the lease with them in the Morgan building. The one space I'm not giving to IT services, it's the lab, that little lab space on the first floor. I'm working with them on leasing that space.
And what company is that? You said?
It's called Painter Magnetics.
And it's out of the Mag Lab,
okay.
And it's a lab that has
heard of it.
Tom Painter.
Okay, I know him.
You know him?
Yeah. Oh, they're doing MRI work, right?
No.
Okay.
They're doing low temperature superconductivity in wire tapes and other kinds of applications. Mm-hmm. It's pretty interesting. In fact, I had a slide on here I was going to show you. I didn't know how detailed you wanted to take it on this. Actually, this is the nice part. He reached out. I found someone he's worried about getting. It was his first BIR phase 1, and he was worried about how do you do a phase 2 package. And in my past life, I have tons of folks that have won phase 2, but locally, right around the corner, Rick and New Energy just won a phase 2, so I hooked those two up, and now they're communicating.
Rick,
and that's
who are you talking about?
Meeker.
Mm-hmm.
What's New Energy? Is it?
He came out of CAPS.
Okay.
And he's, I still have a hard time.
He's the switch guy?
The what?
The switch and a vacuum guy?
No, he's more about the infrastructure piece, I think, and getting, as he said, de-risking. Go ahead. I have a hard time explaining what he's doing.
It's a risk assessment and auditing scenario for energy audits, but he's got some unique IP that is obviously one of phase two, which is pretty hard to do. So, yeah, I'd be happy to share details in the.
I think we're gonna have to keep moving.
I would just also say, as you're looking at these wonderful partnerships with FSU, to just make sure that we keep FAMU, that they have access to the resources and sure. that they're very much included.
And they very much are, and I failed to mention that. In fact, I'm meeting Friday with FAMU folks and talking about the same thing. So we're all going to try. I didn't mean to say it was just us and FSU.
And I've got more to talk about on FAMU as well. Okay.
Yeah, so they're very much in the mix.
Good point.
So this one is huge. I see a gap here, and I think we can fill that. Also, I think we call it Tech Talks, similar. I also did a lot of work with veterans, and there's a lot of money for that work with veterans. And so I used to do a program called Tech Vets, which just between us in the room and the reporter, it's basically technology transfer ideas and small business ideas specifically just for vets. There's really not a difference, but you kind of tailor it to their soft skills.
Mm-hmm. When you're looking at that, though, take a look on JMI's website if you haven't already and see they've got a program for vets as well.
Right, and I've looked at, that's part of what I've been doing about assessing the assets that are already available because I don't want to reinvent the wheel, but if I can fold my program that I've done successfully in the past with what they're doing now, then maybe we could do a joint program.
There's I'll find the name, but there was a program down at UCF for veterans that was different than what we had locally. And it was something through the governor's distinguished for incubators and others, and that may be more in line with what you're thinking.
It could be.
But there was a distinction, something that we were not offering here. So that's.
And typically of the things that it is a small fund to get them over the hump. Mm-hmm. So that, I mean, $10,000 to $25,000, and typically I can get a sponsor for that, whether it's one of the big primes or another industry partner that will do that, or a foundation. So there's a lot of, obviously, emphasis on veterans. And then Perfect Pitch is just a name that I've had in the past for teaching people how to talk to funding sources, so angels and VCs. And a lot of folks, I guess we have some judging in some of that stuff, and you've seen some, and I don't know how well they do. I've been doing it for 25 years, and most of the companies that have been through a Perfect Pitch win their contracts. Give you an example, at RPI, 44 out of 45 companies got funded after going through Perfect Pitch. So I'll look at that and see how I can merge it. And then rapid prototyping is one of the things that I want to be able to offer once we build our new facility, and perhaps even at a smaller scale in the Collins building. And that's because a lot of these people have great ideas and they have to go elsewhere to get it built. And so CNC machines, maybe a selective laser sintering machine, a couple of tool shops. I'm not really sure yet until I find out what the need is. I don't want to build it in hope. I want to see what the need is and build it.
Oh, machine shops.
I'll follow up with you on this. I have a company who was at our tech topic, G5 Engineering.
Yep.
Jim Colt, that would be a good person to talk to.
So G5's on my list.
They are, okay. Good. I went out and met with Jim and their after our tech top and two other principals, and they talked about this need a lot in our area, and they do most of their business outside, so he'd be a good person to connect Michael.
I would love to have that connection because he's on the list and I didn't know how to approach it yet.
He would be thrilled to sit and talk to you.
Yeah.
And if anyone has any contacts at General Dynamics, I also noticed that they're not just building tanks and track vehicles, they're doing a lot of electronic components and circuit building and breadboarding. And so I also had Light Electronic Labs in the past, so Raspberry Pis and everything like that. I would like to do some of that as well. Mm-hmm. So, sorry, I'm getting a little deep down in the detail. Mentor Connector is basically mentors. Internships, one of the unique features I think we can do here is because I've been with eight universities in the past, I understand the academic requirements that the school is looking for, where most small businesses don't. And a lot of times, the small business say, "Well, I have to babysit these kids." Well, I'm going to be the babysitter, and then I'm going to parse them out to the companies that are in our incubation program. And that way, because I understand the requirements, I can fulfill the requirements, and they don't have to feel like they're babysitting. Tech transfer, that's too much to talk about right now, but I have a lot of ideas for tech transfer, and I've spoken to FAMU and FSU, both tech transfer offices, and we're working on some things together. Federal BizOps, another value add is I act as the business development person. I'm constantly scanning for opportunities for the companies that are in our portfolio, and then I parse them out opportunities that I think they're well versed for based on their technology. So in a way, they get a little bit of business development because they don't have time to do all that stuff. TechBridge has got funding, and then grant, well, I've written or co-authored or assisted with tons of grants, and I'm happy to help them with anything that I might know specific to the agency that they're applying for.
Speaking of grants, do you see many out there that would...
Next slide.
Come to us.
So one of the things that I want to do unique with the university tech transfer offices is offer a scrolling screen of the top five technologies in our facilities, so we're the one-stop shop to go to see what those technologies are. And so it's... Did I do that? So it's all of these folks. And I've been talking to them about that because what happens is, and I've been in two tech transfer offices, is they don't have a lot of time to search for market opportunities. They just look and document and list on a website, and people have to go and find them, and people don't want to go to campuses. There's no parking. They don't know the bureaucracy. So if we have the top five in a constant motion at our center, then we'll be... I'll do a little preliminary screening, but we'll be the go-to place and maybe have a choose your next business event coming to our place to look at their licensable technology. And what's interesting is some of the federal laboratories, NASA in particular, were offering their licenses at no cost to anyone who wanted them. Huh. So that was a unique thing that the federal government was doing, and NASA's program went over extremely well. One problem was they offered exclusivity at a fee. And so if you wanted it just for yourself, it was a nominal fee, but that was fee, the rest was free. And I could talk about that. Grants, sponsorships, and others. We're looking for, obviously, tons of grants. We're in discussions with EDA right now on how to fund a new building. I think we're pretty far along. In fact, I got another email this morning early from Greg Bidet from Atlanta, who's our representative here for EDA, and that's at the federal level. And I think we've got a good initial plan. I'm used to the ED900s that are the grant application forms. And we're looking at a couple of unique ways to package it. And it could be part of the disaster relief here, which is an 80-20 split, or it could be their standard 50-50 split. And based on the amount of money that we're looking to raise, we could go under either program.
And before we get really excited about the 80-20, because we think there's a $6 million cap, is that still true? Or
actually, Mark on eight, so mm-hmm. It's right in there, $6 to $8 million.
On the using the disaster funding?
Nope, on the 8900
okay,
application.
All right. Well, the 80-20 split was on the disaster funding yes. piece. That just, I don't know if it's, it still hasn't quite come out yet, has it?
It has not.
Okay, so we don't know the final details yet. But if they capped it, obviously if they capped it at six, you know, we're probably not going to get 80%. What's that? No. This is a separate. It's EDA money.
Oh, they got a $300 million infusion to disperse to states that have been impacted by mostly Irma.
And the requirement was simply that you're in a disaster declared county. So we were, even though we didn't necessarily have the direct impacts, but we can make the case, and this is what Greg suggested, was that you talk about the, you know, building in more resiliency into the job market here. I mean, that's really the focus. So
this is the Federal Economic Development Agency.
Out of the Department of Commerce.
Department of Commerce.
Which funded the Sid Martin biotech.
They fund all the incubators that are brick and mortar. they don't do ongoing operations. So just about every incubator I've been involved with, I've received grants from EDA. Not quite at that amount, but yeah. We're building a bigger facility.
Yeah.
Can I jump in for a second here?
Sure.
So I was going to mention this earlier. I'm going to go back for just a sec. I was in a meeting with the Economic Development Administration in D.C. on Monday. Our contact, Barrett Haga, who was the intergovernmental guy 3 years ago, who helped get me connected with the ACE mm-hmm. tour, mm-hmm. and he has stayed with the EDA. He's in a pretty high up position. He gave us 2 hours on Monday. Bill Proctor was in the room, Christina Paredes and Ben Pingree, and our lobbyists from Patton Boggs. And there may be grant writing assistance through Patton Boggs, so that's on the county side. He talked about this. He said there was going to be $200 million available in Florida, and they're working towards releasing this, I think, in the next couple weeks. He gave us, and Michael and I are meeting in a couple weeks, and so I'll give you more details from what he said, but Greg will have all of this as well. But he talked about the resiliency. We also talked about the panel with ACE that we had on Weather Tiger and those types of tech companies. There might be some, it's resiliency and the job, job creation and those types of things. But if we can tie in ability for those companies that are also looking at resiliency, they might really like that. But the most interesting thing, not most interesting, it was all good, but the one thing I wanted to share with you going back, and this was your introduction, was I flipped the iPad around and said, this is our new hire at Innovation Park, and Barrett and I stay in contact. He goes, oh, Michael's been around forever. This is great. This is huge for you. So I wanted you all to know that it's not just Mark Long and others, but he was excited to know that you were in the mix, and that was a mark in our favor of he thinks we're doing well. He's tracked this for 3 years. I posed the question to him 3 years ago. You told me Tallahassee was never going to get out of our own way. Do you see things different now? And he said absolutely, and he leaned in hard. He is aware of what we're doing here. So we not only have Greg really working closely with us, but in D.C. And Greg, once he adopts a project, he'll shepherd it through. But we've got people in D.C. looking at this as well. So I just wanted to add that in, having just had that meeting this week.
Yeah, so. The last two incubators have been in the D.C. area, so my name's kind of unusual. Not that I claim to know him, but...
But he's very aware. So this is all good for us.
So can other people remember his name?
I'm glad. Between all the acronyms and his name, I think my mind. All right.
So just to quickly go through this, there's lots of grants out there for equipment. I've won in the past either through IBM, Cisco, Fisher Scientific for biotech stuff. There's tons of them out there. There's never been anything for ongoing operations for incubators. They build them and they leave them alone. We said, we're done. That has recently been looked at the federal level, and I got word that there's a few programs that may be coming out, and maybe that's the $200 million that you were talking about, because it's rather substantial, mm-hmm. to fund ongoing incubation programs. So we could apply this, the reason I mentioned it, to the Collins building, because typically they wouldn't touch it. It's already built. So.
They've changed the name from NOFA to NOFO, and that's what will be released in a couple weeks. And so there were some programmatic changes or changes within the application that opened up.
That's what I've been hearing, because for years we've all been complaining about that. You got to start it, and now there's no additional support, and we're supposed to be self-sustaining after, say, a three-year period. Mm-hmm. And they just said, you're on your own. But then they've been closing. A lot of incubators have been closing.
Yeah.
It's a waste.
Right? I mean, you better off the other way around. Y'all build it, then I'll help support you.
Yeah.
So that's interesting, and that's why I'm here, because I thought I heard about the change, and it sounds like it's coming down the pike. And then the rest, I think you can probably read on your own. And then lastly, I just wanted to throw some numbers out there. I just made this up, so don't put this in stone. But I was just looking very conservatively. My background's accounting, so that's tending how I look at things.
Very another one.
And you'll see, if we don't get EDA funding and FSU FAMU support, we still can do this, which is, I want you to look at this debt service line, but it's going to take probably 5 years to turn the corner. And again, this is very conservative. I probably can do more in the granting, and I probably can do more in the sponsorships, but I never count on those things, so I put low numbers there. So a five-year turnaround. However, if we do get the funding that I'm anticipating, we immediately become, and by the way, it's necessary in the application to show that you're within break even within a three-year period of time. So that's why I just threw that up there real quick. This big capital startup is just for all the lab equipment that I can't count on grants, so I have to put it in there. So it's lab equipment and all the peripheral things that'll be needed in,
how many square feet were you looking at?
Say again?
How many square feet?
40,000.
I think that's the minimum we heard the other day, the number that they suggested.
Yeah, it used to be 25, then it went to 42, and that now they say 130, which I don't agree with. And I looked just the other day, and back on the IMBIA site, it says 40 to 80.
The big thing is, you know, that leasable space mix and how much of the other stuff you're putting in there, like this innovation lab with all the equipment that's not leasable space necessarily. I mean, that's a huge part. Lots of meeting rooms and common areas and coffee shops, coffee bars. And
yeah, we used to call it efficiency rate. The efficiency being what you can get the money from, the revenue generating percentage. And in incubation, that tends to be rather skewed. So I typically look at, if we can get 75% efficiency rate, we're doing great. And then ADA really affected that number. And it's dropped down because you have so many areas of refuge and all the other things that they provided. So my last building that I was a part of, we were only 65% efficiency rate. And so you have to base your numbers off of that rather than, you know, the full occupancy. And then this is very step slow occupancy rates until we start building the argument to come here. And I think what happens is it dominoes. When people realize that we're the place to go to and we have all these services, then they come. But I don't put that in the chart. So that's basically it. I just wanted to let you know what I was up to. Well, the time going on, I used to have brown hair until I got here.
We appreciate it.
For now.
Questions of Michael?
Thank you for your time.
Sounds great.
Floor's open.
Sounds great.
Yeah. When do we break ground?
You know, I would like to do a parallel path while we're working on Collins, is to start looking at the site development and getting the permitting and getting the EPA and the engineering studies and on architectural renderings and all of those things. So that's up to somebody that's holding the purse strings, because all of that stuff costs.
That's us.
Right.
Yeah, so, yeah, and that's, you know, one of the things we'll look at is there are some steps we need to take in order to apply for the EDA grant. And we will definitely come back to you as soon as we have all that outlined. Particularly, I think it's the engineering and the, you said?
EPA and engineering report. Those are the two that you have to have done prior to submitting an application. And the other big one is your match funding in place, at least with commitment letters, not in the bank. And I think we can do that in a reasonable amount of time based on what I'm hearing, unless I'm...
Part of our conversation yesterday with Steve Evans was this particular issue about how we're going to get the match funding. So Steve has suggested that we reach out to Gary Ostrander and others and get them all around the table and Ben Pendry and Al and all those and say, here's the opportunity. We just got a study that says we need an incubator. We have a person ready to do it, to execute on this plan. We have a funding opportunity that's here now. It's time to act. What's your piece? What are you willing to do? And so we're gonna make that ask very quickly.
And you and April both know Steve. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean,
okay.
I don't know
him.
No, yes,
I know
him. Steve, and I view this as a challenge to Ron, and I'll go ahead and mention it now. We'll talk a little bit later. I've said we need to get him on board.
I agree.
I approached Steve, and and he said he'd be willing to accept an offer if we if we found the.
He would be tremendous, and he would bring so many connections that really help us.
He's chairing TMH this year, So he might be a couple more years in. That's an 8 years in.
But he mentors so many people. And to me, the best thing they have him to do is to help us with specific ask instead of, I mean, it'd be great to get him on board if you do that.
Yeah, he didn't mention any distance in wait for 2 years. So.
Well, I think I've had some preliminary conversations with him. I don't know that it's a slam dunk, but mm-hmm. I think he's...
He didn't use the word slam dunk, but he said, sure, I'd be interested in serving on that board.
I just think the Gateway Project changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
It changes the whole universe for us. And all of a sudden, we are going to be front and center for everything. And we've been hidden away. People didn't know how to find us.
I mean, you don't get here by accident.
No, you don't.
You just have to drive
by. You can even try to get here on purpose and have trouble. So it's.
Well, we brought one up Gateway. Let's talk about Gateway a little bit. I would have liked to have been there. I was committed to the Navy that day and was out of town. But several of you were here. Several of you made comments. I appreciate that. Sue Dick called me. I told her I couldn't, but I said, you have plenty of great board members, and I think she called you maybe before me or after me or somewhere in there. But Ron, you were there. Kristen, you were there. I'd like to ask the three of you just to give a real quick summary of what came down and how it worked and your impression of the whole process and where we go from here. So, Kristen, I'll start with you.
Thank you. And if you don't mind, I'll highlight one other thing that happened in the blueprint meeting earlier in the day, which ties into all of this as well. So Gateway particularly, it was a packed house. We had a lot of comments and support, and I'm glad it's moving forward. I will share with you something I've shared at the board meeting and privately with a lot of folks. That I think the public conversation of this got confusing in a lot of ways. And there were, as I said in my comments, it was very understandable why people, South Lake Bradford, others, thought promises were made in advance, and this got a little bit tense. But I think
promises
we ended up...
Promises were made in advance is what?
That they felt like promises were made for certain traffic mitigation issues in the public meetings that Blueprint staff hosted prior to the agenda coming out, and then things really fell apart in the last 2 weeks.
Was there before or after they
moved
out?
Yeah.
Right.
So, I just want to acknowledge that if you've read some of the comments in the paper, op-eds, or things like that. But it ties into, actually, your comment was on my mind, April, and then something that I did at the end when a lot of the folks who spoke in favor, or a lot of the audience, had left. So this does tee us up in an exceptional way to open the campus. The road is critical. I think there's some questions that are going to have to be in the analysis about Stuckey, whether it's 2 or 4 lane and some of that property, but I'm not sure it matters to us whether it's 2 or 4 lane on Stuckey, as long as we get the road through. Providence, Callan neighborhood were both mostly supportive, and they do get a lot of other added benefits, pulling traffic off of Levy, doing some other improvements. Spring Hill Road remains a Hermitage style. There's a tremendous amount of public right away that really wasn't talked about as much, but some of the cost reduction on Spring Hill is because they did an analysis and most of the right away is already owned by the public, state, local, whatever it might be. So it's going to be easier to do a wide road, 2 lane, large median for 4 lane in the future. And then some analysis of South Lake Bradford on traffic calming and, you know, whatever that might be. But this now goes into a year-long study, the Southwest Area Transportation Study with the Transportation Board, CRTPA. So it's going to be interesting to see how this is pieced out in the programming. In the June blueprint meeting, that's when they're going to present us with the 5-year plan for programming the infrastructure dollars.
In June.
So Orange Avenue is ranked high, both at CRTPA, which is the state and federal dollar possibility, and on the blueprint side, and now Airport Gateway is ranked high as well, so that bodes well for us. But June's really going to tell us if it's a two-year, I mean, the money starts coming in 2020, so a two-year horizon, a three-year, four, you know, but I expect it to be within that five-year. FSU certainly wants to move quickly with this $8 million portion. So I think the energy is there. I think it's good, but we have two big steps from my perspective. The agenda item in June, and there's going to be a two-hour workshop on that. So I'm happy about that. A deep dive before the meeting from 1 to 3 at our June meeting, and then the transportation study, which we should see early in 19. The only other thing on the infrastructure piece is for me, and this was a motion that I dropped in and got full approval at about 9:10 or so after most people had left.
I was having sushi, by the way.
Yeah, the board was there, thankfully. That there are a lot of pieces. Staff was really focused on the transportation planning, but there's a lot of pieces about improving the neighborhoods that we don't want to just gentrify the neighborhoods. They're getting inquiries about the property already in Providence and Callan from potential, you know, commercial or others or student housing. Those neighborhoods are historic, and we need more workforce housing and affordable housing throughout the community. So we have not updated the sector plan for this area, which is really street by street, sidewalks, lighting, safety, closing in ditches, whatever that might be, since 2004, and it was never implemented. I think it was 2004. Could have been earlier. So I made a motion for city manager and county administrator to bring back to both city and county commission an update sector plan. So what I would say for our board, in partnership with those neighborhoods, I think it's going to be important for us to both support, I would make this argument, the transportation improvements, but also the general sector improvements as we go forward. And the reason why your comments were on my mind was that everybody's right, you only have 3 minutes, that the Airport Gateway is critical. Bringing people in, you want a nice gateway, it's good to come through the park, that'll be great for us. But I think it's going to go a long way in pushing this plan forward if we also support the neighborhood pieces, and it will help us as well in the whole area as we move forward. So does that help?
Let me ask you this, Kristen. The issue with that veterans apartment complex, what are your thoughts on what could even be done to preserve that for the future? Because that seemed to be, from a PR standpoint, that would be a real challenge.
And along those same lines, though, what was there discussion about the acquisition of the right-of-way on the north side of Stuckey?
It was framed as just going into the study and looking at the possibilities there on Stuckey, and that's why I kind of said 2 or 4 lane. I'm not sure it impacts us negatively to leave it as 2 lane with improved sidewalks and other things. People be coming down Fannie Way, they'll hit Stuckey if it's a 2-lane improved, and then right into the new road with the FSU property. So right-of-way property acquisition, normally looks at replacement costs, and for Homefront, this is Big Bend Homeless Coalition's veterans housing. It's permanent supportive housing. So this is a community. These guys, they support each other, which is really critical, but a lot of them have various types of disabilities. The replacement cost, and this is what Joe West and Sylvia Smith and others were talking about, it is wildly different than the replacement cost that a normal public acquisition of a home might be.
Where is that one?
You drive right by it?
You drive right by it, yeah.
When
it's just like a
It's right at the end of Stuckey before you turn onto Roberts. It's an apartment complex.
Okay, so it's on the east side of
north side of Stuckey.
It's on the river track side, at the
sharp right.
Yeah,
it just looks like a beige apartment complex.
Yeah, but it is. it's programmed. And I chaired the Continuum of Care for Homelessness for a couple of years, and so I learned a lot more about how much HUD funding and others goes into that. It was a city purchase originally that allowed Big Bend Homeless to do this. If that was just straight up replacement cost for the value of the land, Big Bend Homeless could not move this facility someplace else. So that is a really big challenge there. If it were four-laned, it might take too much right-of-way, and they were told that it could even need all of the right-of-way back with all those properties towards the railroad tracks, and that's really what was concerning to them. So I think there's still some questions there, but...
Yeah, I think it's something that we and the blueprint really need to get in front of, because it's important, and they have legitimate issues.
Yep. And in permanent supportive housing, we are at an extreme deficit in the number of units needed. Veterans housing for formerly homeless veterans was a critical piece in the prior administration's HUD funding, and it's still in HUD programming. So, yeah, it's we've got more work on that side that might be able to help, but knowing where the funding structures have been, it's going to be really challenging to move permanent support.
Well, I know you were looking at one time about the possibility of some signage down at Levy and Lake Bradford. Does that give us a new area then to be thinking about?
Once we see how that's going
to
shake out.
Begin to see if we can work something into that early on before all the stuff is in concrete.
Yep.
I was just going to say, you know, with FSU's focus on veterans, with all that's being done in the community, you know, there has to be a win here that we could make happen in the larger, you know, through the larger community or something else. But I would not want Innovation Park to get tagged with that, you know, negative.
And I actually think the location of it could work in our favor if it could stay there, be worked around, you know, that could be a positive instead of a negative.
I think you're right on both counts, and you know, just one thing that Joe West dropped in was there's no bus stop there. Our metro
it's
has
nowhere.
Hello. Yeah,
it's like we're nowhere.
Yeah.
It's nowhere.
Improvements in the city. I mean, there's, and that's why I thought the sector plan was so critical to get that teed up as well.
Who does the sector plan?
That is through the planning department, and it's city and county joint on that end, but. There's a lot of sector plans, late 90s, early 2000s, that were never implemented. I've read them all years ago, and they're wildly different. So we need an update there, and I think that gives a nod to those other issues. One note back on the signage, just where Ron was nodding. So we had an agenda item, I think, at our maybe February 14th meeting or so. From OEB, and they did a little mention of the magnetic task force, and the articles had just run, and Mary Ann Lindley asked about signage, whether or not we could partner as a county commission with the Mag Lab to do signage in different areas to say, hey, Mag Lab this way. And I chimed in and said, hey, that's great. Innovation Park is thinking about signage as well. Let's do this kind of tripart and see if there's a co-branding or something like that. So staff got that direction from the county commission, and I followed up with Ron immediately after. I don't know if staff's reached out yet, but they said there's an agenda item coming back soon to the county that they didn't say what, that this may dovetail in with that. So I got us involved in that.
And I'm going to reach out to Ken Morris and follow up on that.
Okay.
Hey, Kim's next, but I have something I want to say when you're on the phone.
Well, I don't know that I have a lot to add to what Christian said, other than my comments were that you don't get to Innovation Park by accident. You don't drive by it on the way to the airport now. You drive around it, and that we need to make it a part of the community, not something that's invisible. And that, you know, this is all about making sure we get jobs for our kids and our graduates. Keep them here. And I didn't hear anything. Enough negative that would sway the vote. Obviously, I was right because it went 12-0. I was really proud of y'all for that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because it's been a lot.
Huge step forward for our community.
Pissies.
So well, you heard when FSU pulled it off the agenda, I suspected they were having a little bit of issue with whether this thing could get enough votes, or they wouldn't pull it off the agenda when it did, but...
I think it was probably also about the, you know, the public perception of FSU. Sure. And
wouldn't increase votes and all that, and negativism and whatever, but excuse me, Ann, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, this is really my issue in the sense of I have thought that this was job one, you know, since I was chair, and with a lot of luck, some design, I feel like everything has really fallen into place for us. I talked to Kevin Graham about a week before the meeting. I think he coordinated with Ron. I suggested you all to speak, hope you don't mind, because I was going to be out of the country. And the feedback I got from him was that what y'all did was exactly what was needed. This idea that the business community is showing up on behalf of the South Side is a very potent idea, and I think it's something we need to keep working with. The fact that that it was unanimous is a huge deal. But the thing that I think we all need to keep an eye on, and I think everybody already knows this because we've all worked in development in certain different kinds of ways, it is not over. That's what you've said. That's what you've said. It isn't even close to being over. And if we don't keep our eye on the ball, Bill Peoples isn't giving up. Bill Proctor is not giving up. I mean,
the maddest man in the room.
Well, that doesn't bother me a bit.
I sat next to him in the sales tax committee for 3 years, 120
years. Yeah.
And all he worried about was that damn speed bumps on the
I think that he had kind of buffaloed the blueprint people a bit, and you know they really needed to hear. Look, he's just negotiating. This is just his final.
He told me he had DOT planned Capitol Circle without a left turn on the Lake Rapid Road from the airport.
Yeah.
And as soon as they started to talk about planning that section, they said, "Oh no, we're not doing that." So I mean, it's.
Yeah.
But you're right.
Okay. I mean, it's outsized influence there that I think we can counteract as long as we stay on it. Kevin recognizes that this, the Southwest Area Transportation Plan, all of this, what DOT is going to do on Orange Avenue is critical. He, I think, is very committed, not just because he's a young man and this is probably the most important thing he'll ever do in his career, but because he is honestly committed to it. So I'm going to try real hard to stay in touch with him. I think a lot of it is just talking to all the people who are still in the process, always.
Keep the ball in the air.
Yeah.
So, April, anything you want to add?
No, great.
Anything you want to add?
No, other than unless y'all want to go past 1 o'clock, we've got 25 minutes to get there.
I just want to thank you all.
And poor Denise never gets to do her communications report.
Well, I moved in front of her this time because I wanted to get to my report this time.
I will not take more than 1 minute on this, but I need to tie this back to Michael's report here. So the timing with EDA grants, what Michael was talking about a little while ago, so being able to show that we have partnership on infrastructure, that that we have a lot of these other things working together is critical, but there's a regional economic development report that the EDA relies on to give money. That jumped, I would say, from the 90s to a more modern report this year in the five-year update. I won't say anything more about that, but this is a critical piece. It's called the Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy, and it is completely different. That backs us up.
If you don't have that on your list, it's the ARPC, the Appalachian
Regional Planning Council. Mike, I'll get you all the information on that and the contact Richard Fennick, who is the new hire in the last year to do that. And I serve on that board as well, the Appalachian Regional Planning Council. So all these things are working together. 300-page target sector report and incubator study was also approved earlier in the day at the Blueprint meeting. You guys have had a copy of this. This is where Steve Evans, OEV, Ben Pingree come in for possible future funding. And in there is notes about needing more incubators, the report is really good. I think it helps OEV move forward, and it helps us move forward.
Yeah, it's the ammunition we need.
There.
And, it, and on the incubation side, on the incubation side, it really made the case that there's, yeah, we have different incubators in town, but we don't have anything for the stage of the game that we're looking at, okay? And we do a great job with education, but really not, you know, past that initial stage. So in the second stage companies, in particular growth stage, there's nothing there for them. We just train them, get them started, and say, good luck. So.
Let me real quick ask Tristan this comment. I've asked Ron earlier too, but Domi, they now no longer have their executive director.
They just announced today.
They announced that? Okay, all right. My question was going to be whether there is, the county, are they going to keep that lease forever? Is that going to be something? Is there an opportunity somewhere down the road to get them closer physically with us or intermingle with some of the things they're doing and we're doing, or is it best just to leave them alone and let them do their thing and we do our thing?
Why don't we tee this up for a conversation in the future, and I'll get more information to Ron about the contract renewal and everything. That conversation is going to come up in the next year, because I think they're at their 3-year point and we have to make those decisions in the next year. My quick answer would be, I think there is a role for them in the area that they're in, and it's a very different type of program than everything we're hearing about from Michael, but things may flow in.
And just so you know, Michael's already, you know, teeing up conversations with them, so we're not ignoring them, trust me. We're paying close attention to what they're doing, and we'll see what makes sense down the road.
It seems to me there would be some linkage in there that would be beneficial to us both, but maybe not.
We'll see.
Could you send us that incubator report in the target sector?
Yeah, I think I did. When I sent you the agenda item link, it's all on that agenda item.
Okay.
It's huge,
this agenda item link?
No, the one I sent out for the IA meeting.
Okay.
It's in that link.
There's an executive summary that's about 30 pages.
Okay.
And that would be, yeah.
It's also got the target industry study in there as well.
All right, let's move on. The Appalachia Gainesville trip down to Sid Martin and was, in my opinion, very, very good for our board to see. Those of you who were on the trip, I would think that you probably were blown away with what they've been able to accomplish down there. It seemed to me like there was no limit on the amount of dollars they could pull out of University of Florida, which is a funding arm that we don't have, but boy, were they impressive with what they have just built. Mammoth building. How many square feet?
I don't remember what it was.
Mm-hmm. The hub is 100,000, I think.
100,000 square foot building on one of the central streets in town, not necessarily downtown, but on a major art.
It was halfway between downtown and campus.
Yeah. Ultra modern, three stories tall, four maybe.
Mm-hmm. Open to the community, 24/7.
All
conference
kinds
space.
Of conference rooms in there, meeting rooms in there, parking in there. Several of you were on that, and rather than me recap it, Kim, any thoughts you had about it, what you saw, what you think?
Well, what was important to me was that they understood what size rooms they needed to rent and how they should be laid out and how to make the rents real flexible so somebody could grow or shrink or without having to be impacted capital rent. All of the public areas, that the conference areas and all, were available to a central corridor that you could lock up the labs and still get in the building and have meetings so that they really could utilize this building like almost 24 hours a day. But that's what an incubator is all about. It's to provide the services that they have there and the equipment availability to the people to borrow or rent or however they parcel that out and make the rental agreement or lease agreement short-term and immediately terminatable by the tenant or use. So nobody's at risk for writing a rent check when they don't have any income. But you got to have 6 months income when you get in there. I think it was 4 6-month ability to make 4 6-month payments to get into the and they charge sales tax, and they've got it all figured out. They're doing it right. They just got about a 20-year head start on us, that's all.
I really thought that the focus that they had on the community and the external way that they were communicating the value was something to learn from. Everything from really reasonable sponsorships that lots of people in the community could participate in and feel good about. So all of those things, I think, make it a community asset and a way that people go, oh, yes, I'm a part of this. Oh, yes, this is part. Because Gainesville is just like Tallahassee. You know, we don't have corporate headquarters. They don't have a whole lot of money to go after. But the way that they approached it, I think, makes it a true community asset. And I thought that was a really valuable lesson.
Mm-hmm. And it was very visible.
Yeah, it was visible and accessible. Yes, you can come in and have your meeting here because we want that energy in this facility. That's a good message, not that's for scientists only.
They were celebrating the success.
Right,
and
yes.
They talked about it. I've been in this meeting, I've been in that meeting.
Yeah.
Ron, your observation?
Well, here's what I'm going to tell you. Is
he needs his...
I have a list of observations, 28 items that were shared with me from participants on the trip. I'm going to send those out.
Oh, that's great.
So that will be shared, and I will actually do that as part of the agenda today, so we'll make a public information. Since we have board member comments on here, I think it would be good to do that. I did not attribute the comments to anyone.
Yeah.
But they're there.
That's a great idea. Can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
So, where did all this money come from? You say it came from the university.
Well,
do we know if that's
true? They have all sources of funding. They have sponsorships. Yeah. They have grants. They have university money.
Short answer is Gatorade.
They actually took that money from that. Yeah.
Yeah, they've been doing that for as long as I've been in.
Yeah.
And a lot of EDA money. So
The EDA money to construct was huge.
Yeah.
But the university supports their IT program. They come out and change light bulbs. They do all kinds of things, and that's huge.
Resource sharing on
what
libraries.
Did
call?
Everybody remember?
14 million.
14 million.
Right? 14?
Mm-hmm. I think that's right.
Well, that each phase, so right? 14 for phase one and 14 for phase two.
So, Michael, any comments you want to make from the trip?
I just have known Mark in the past, and he's well regarded in the field of incubation acceleration, and he was very gracious in offering his assistance in anything that we might want to do.
Well, the time that he allotted for us.
Yeah, so the stuff that we learned, if we have any additional questions or if we didn't weren't clear on a few things, then he's happy to have.
Yeah, he seemed more than willing to share his thoughts with us about anything or bounce things off of him. Or...
Yeah, and that's a good position to be in. There's nobody that can duplicate what they've done, so he doesn't mind sharing, which is a nice situation to have. And we could do it at a micro level and focus on different clusters, and I think we could be just as successful in a comparable size in the limited resources, but that's why he's willing to.
You know, and one thing I think is really important to remember is that about 60% of their tenants are from the community, not from the university. Mm-hmm. Did I get that backwards?
No, you were right, Richard, because I know that was not the mission of RPI when I was up there. In fact, I did a pie chart, and we were 65% professorial student and alumni businesses in there. And then there was the rest in the community. So it was the exact opposite, which I found interesting. But I think I know why. They have different assets in the biotech arena that the small companies aren't able to provide, so therefore they're there for access to those assets. Mm-hmm. And I get that. We didn't have that at RPI. We had an 18-24-built building on 5 floors with no equipment, just offices. So
you said sort of the converse of what I was getting at. Why is there nobody else who can do what they've done?
Oh, I didn't say nobody. They're one of probably 10 in the country that are top in their field. Yeah,
they're a local threat.
Yeah, I'm talking about in the immediate area. Georgia Tech would be the next.
Okay, so I'm just wondering if there's something about us, about Tallahassee, about that is a real preventative from having that kind of
the only thing I can think of is that it's not 100% university affiliated.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if FS, if it was FSU's incubator,
yeah,
okay, but we're dealing with a number of different higher education institutions, county, city, right, a tech park, national lab, so.
That's what I would say too.
That, and you know, I don't know that that's a bad thing.
Right.
There are benefits to that also.
Exactly.
But we are.
More flexible.
We are in the beginning, we're at 25%. 20% of building that capacity and taking down the silos past 5-7 years where they've been doing this for decades.
Yeah.
So I think that's the $900 million in research dollars versus our 270, right?
Yeah.
So it's those, yeah.
It's the med schools being there for the length of time that it has in this.
It's all, yeah, it's yeah. just... Yeah,
but I couldn't help but be blown away with it. I just was very impressed. I'd heard it was nice. I'd heard it was big, but I was very impressed with what we saw.
You know, the first building we went to was amazing in good condition, considering how old it is.
The age, yeah. Well, and that's one of the benefits to universities. I've been involved with 8 different universities, and when they're put on the maintenance schedule for those facilities, they always keep them up pretty well, especially when it's your showcase facility. So they devote a lot of effort to that.
Let's talk a little bit about the board composition and nominations for new members and or replacements and how we get there and what we do with it. And all those nominations go through a nominating process. They go through a committee that then goes to the county. Ron, confirm to us again which positions now will be terminated, or not terminated, but will be expiring and will have to be renewed or vacated. That's one.
Yours, Ann's, and Paul Dean.
Okay.
Those three are.
Those three expire in November?
In September 30th.
September 30th, excuse me. So we'll have to share this with Ann when she comes back out. Those who would like to then be considered, we'll have to talk to Paul. For a 4-year renewal of their position, needs to let Ron know pretty soon. And we need to make sure that process gets moving through the nomination procedure. At this point in time, the board is with what, 11 members? 11 positions?
Yes.
11 has been a pretty comfortable area for a while, but I mentioned before, I sure want to make room for Steve Evans somehow to get some place. If there's not a vacancy coming up, then I would even be afraid of taking us from 11 to 13 members. Again, trying to get 2 more members from the private sector to come into place. The question is now on the floor for comment. Who wants to jump in and add value? Kristen, you always add value to everything, but start us out.
I hope so. So the process for this, is we expanded the board, we've done 2 ordinance changes, I think, in the past 6 years or so, but it has to go through the county commission to change the ordinance if we want to expand the board or do any other kind of changes, and that should happen prior to July so that the nominating committee can meet over the summer and return recommendations to the county by our meetings in September. For appointments before the 30th. So that's just the time frame. We have staggered terms, so we expanded from 4 to 6 private sector members. I'd just say if you want to have that conversation, I would suggest teeing it up at the next board meeting, getting some more information, and perhaps one member could be added to each, to 18 and then to 20. So, you know, we could add one member or a short term, or you add both and one person does 2 years and then is re-upped at that point. That may be more appropriate. I'm not thinking about it. So I think space has been a challenge. We're looking at Collins, a new boardroom. So that's the only other thought I have. I just say for board discussion, is there a need for pipeline for private sector officers and others and, you know, those types of things. But we don't want to get too top heavy either. The more board members, more you have for quorum, more other things. So there's pros and cons.
It does create more challenge for staff.
Yeah, there's pros and cons to it. But there are always other ways that we've talked about in the past for engaging other people. And someone like Steve, for example, just, I think the counter argument, aside from his schedule, may be, do we want him under sunshine or not? Do we want him to have more flexibility with staff and with board members? We can always do work groups. We can always do advisory committees. That's under sunshine. So there are other ways that we've talked about in the past with adding people into our process, whether it's to cultivate more or future board members or just add in other experts. So I think those options are on the table if we decide not to expand the board.
And we're talking about the positions that become ready for renewal, or we decide that we don't want to stay. You and I and Paul Dean are three whose terms expire. So, not at this point in time, but
what
somewhere.
What is the expiration date?
September 30. And so, you need to let Ron know pretty soon whether we can count on you for four more years or whether you've said, mm-hmm. been there, done that. Mm-hmm. I'm hopeful you'd like to stay, but that's your call. Paul Dean, we need to know from him. And Ron, I'll ask you to contact him and let him know, and we'll go from there. So, composition of the board, I think a little bit will need to come, not composition, but the number of board seats, I think needs to come after we determine who wants to stay and who wants to vacate. And so,
what's the range that you can do the board? How big or small can the board be?
This is it. This is the size.
This point.
So you must have 11 members, or is it 8 to 11? Or
the statute says 11.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It does.
The statute is the upper limit is 11?
No, I'm sorry, the ordinance.
The ordinance
says 11.
Yeah, it is.
The state statute gives us a minimum of 5, I think it is.
Right.
Yeah, I would think you'd have a window.
5.
What if you lose somebody that don't want to do anything until the next term?
Well, the board has the authority to appoint replacements to fill out a term.
Yes. Okay. 5 are designated, remember, 3 higher ed, city and county. And then we expanded, like I said, 4 to 6 private sectors. So we can do that, but this is county exercising the special district ordinance or statute through an ordinance. So that's why the county commission has to agree and change that ordinance to add any board members. There's no, there's a set number in that ordinance. So again, I would say, there's a lot of different ways we can go on this. I mean,
I can add it to the board agenda, and I can try to get answers, before the board meeting.
Let's do that, if you would.
Okay.
Okay, any other discussion regarding the board composition or nominations? We haven't said nominations. It's probably too early, but once we determine what seats might be available, we need to also talk about nominations. At one point in time, we had very little input into that process. But it has been changed now so that this board has a representation on the nomination committee, and so that gives us a little bit more opportunity to ensure we get what we want and who we want, rather than being a public issue with people going around and pushing on the commissioners to vote for me or whatever. I know that had been the process many years ago where this board had very little control over who was on this board. Past chairs meeting, we will have a past chairs workshop coffee, 45 minutes to an hour presentation coming up on March the 15th at 9:30. Any of you who would care to attend that are welcome. We're going to ask Ron to make a presentation on sort of what's going on in Innovation Park today and where we're headed, what we're expecting to accomplish. You may want to incorporate Mike into that somehow, but I'll leave all that up to you. We've had so far had Phil Blank said he'd be here, Sylvia Jordan, Ray Eaton, and Ann. Kristen, I think you said.
Town.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Yep.
We also invited Ken Retta.
Ken Retta from FAMU?
Yeah, I ran into him at Discovery on Parade and talked about it a little bit. He's, I think, thinking about it. I think you reached out to him as well.
I did. Peggy, you had a recommendation too.
Ray
Bye.
Mm-hmm.
Right by was
yes.
Former.
Where are we at this room? That we're trying to.
I'm sorry.
Where are we going to do this meeting?
Here.
Right here.
Mm-hmm.
Right here. So it'd be four former chairs.
After that list, you ain't gonna do it right here.
Well, I don't know how many.
Well, they're not all. I mean, not everybody's necessarily coming, but it'll be fine.
Those four are former chairs that will be coming, and then we've had Tom Barron and who else was on that list? Tom Barron and somebody else said, please make sure they were invited in the future because they would like to hear that themselves a little bit later on. Bruce Host, Tom Barron and Bruce Host said, please do a second round of it. And so we'll see. Maybe that Kristen and can come to that one. So we'll see. I didn't want to sit Kristen and Phil Blank side by side anyhow. So
I was looking forward to it.
What'd you say?
I'll give him your card.
I'll send you. I saw him at the gym the other day, and he sat there and told me, "Yeah, Ken, I bet you're the middle school student that the teacher had to write all those letters on your parents' face. You can't keep them in your seat."
I was sure that I personally phoned each of these four persons who were planning on, or who are planning on attending, and each and every one seemed to be very appreciative and very interested in where we're going and what we're doing, and seemed to say, you know, I made a contribution to it. I'd really like to see where it's evolved from my time in the chair.
It's a great idea.
And so I'm looking forward to that process too. I'd like to hear from some of them as to what they think, where we'll be going, what we'll be doing, but they can be some of our best advocates in the community as we go forward. This time, I'll turn the floor over to our executive director for his report.
All right, we're going to enter the speed round of the meeting. I got some good news going on. We've got, at the Collins Building, for example, we have two prospects that we're working on. I'm not going to go into names at this point, but so two private companies. One wants to lease the entire lab space, and another company wants to lease 6,000 of our 10,000 square feet. That we were going to white box, but they want it so quick they don't want to white box it. They want to figure out how to use the space that's there. Now,
and they're complementary to each other.
Yes,
they don't overlap.
They're both biotech type companies. One company that wants a lab, Dave and I agreed that they would get a 90-day agreement not to try to lease the property while they're evaluating the cost of renovations. They're going to get their own folks in there to look at it. They've already started.
Letter of intent.
Yeah, something like that. I forget what we officially call it, but it's very, very simple, straightforward, basically, that we're just not going to try to lease the space while they're working on it, because they're going to incur costs to evaluate that, and they just want to make sure they can, you know, if they decide they want it, they'll get it. So we've got that process going, and the big thing is going to be with both of these is how we negotiate the improvement costs and how we factor that into the lease. So we'll look at that once it comes back, and that'll be a big part of the negotiation. We'll come back to the board with that when we get it. Both of those are outside. Well, technically the lab lease is probably not, but with the improvements and how that deal might get structured, it'll probably require board approval for that one. The other one being 6,000 square feet is more than my 5,000 square foot limit. So I'll definitely be bringing that one back. Both of these are still very fluid situations. The 6,000 square foot deal is based on their own mergers and their own acquisition process. They've got a private investor coming in that wants to move a company from another state and combine it with this company that's in Tallahassee and have the Tallahassee principal manage the new firm. So it's a great opportunity to get a tech company in here that's emerging and we can talk more about that later. But we're working on that deal, so it's a good possibility.
And that would fill the building.
It would leave 4,000 square feet on the east end, and we still would have to renovate the office area for our offices to get us out of here and to have a place to do the bigger meeting room and the early phase in of the incubation programs and all that. So we still have to do that. I'm hesitant to put out an RFQ at this point until we get the scope of these other two projects down, because I'm going to have to either include it or not include it. So we're kind of stuck at that end for the moment. But again, if I can lease that much, 8,500 square feet going in to the deal and do those renovations, I'll feel a lot better about it.
because we'll be able to fund some stuff fairly quickly.
And we'll have paying tenants.
And yes, exactly. That's the point. Exactly. That's always good.
Wow, that's new.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we're going to, you know, knock on wood, we're going to close to 100% occupancy, and hopefully we can start talking about the next thing that we need to do. But it's a good problem.
All good news, and the letter of intent, I guess it was what we called it, was initially 60 days. They asked for additional 30, so that's running. They're probably 20 days into it.
Yeah, I think so, something like that. It was 1st of March, I think.
Yeah, so, so we'll know something on that within the next 50 days, 45 days, 90 days, 60 days, something. But it's moving.
Yep.
Okay.
So then on the Morgan Lab, we have a... actually, I sent out the draft lease yesterday. That's the lab on the first floor as you walk in from the atrium on the left, just before you get to SBDC. There's a small lab. There's a company there called Discover RX, a long time ago. Hadn't been leased a long time. It's just, you know, basic lab benches and a sink, couple of sinks and an emergency shower. So,
how big is
536 square feet.
Yeah, just right.
So anyway, we have a prospect to put in there, and so we're working through the final stages of that deal. It'll be market rent. We've got about $2,500 worth of improvements we're going to put in there, which includes a little vent over one of the benches, so that when they do soldering and stuff, it can suck the fumes out. It's not a big, you know, you don't need a big hood or anything. Just help the airflow. And then we're going to do a 220 single phase, which will power a compressor for a super cooling something or other.
Cryogenic cooler.
Yeah, that's why we hired him. He's got all the science stuff. I took him with me to the meeting, by the way, so he could translate. But and then we're also going to do some sound mitigation to make sure that SBDC folks don't get upset with the noises coming out of there. I put some language in the lease to make sure that if we do have any sound issues, that they're going to be required. For example, we've already had the discussion. He's going to have to enclose the compressor area and make sure it's, you know, because he can't put it outside. We talked about that, but he's going to make sure that it's sound. We do all the sound mitigation possible, and I also have a clause in there that if we don't get it resolved,
it's a screw type compressor.
He's got it's a very specialized piece of equipment that the compressor is part of this.
He took me on a lab tour, excuse me for interrupting, but I heard the compressor running on the cryogenic cooler, and it's negligible, so I don't think that's going to be an issue. Plus, he's already agreed to put the baffles in there.
Yeah, so we're going to, just to be safe, because he's got some other equipment he's going to be running, like some winding equipment and some other stuff, that just to make sure that if we have any noise issues, it's in the lease, that either fixes it or I can pick him up. Or, you know, move him to another, you know, move him into the college building if we get that done or whatever. So anyway, just so you know, and that's within my purview to do those kind of leases. So I'm excited about that. It's another example of the kinds of companies we want to help get going, and we have an opportunity to do that. And just so you know, because I'm required to tell you, I did renew the CBTR lease. We put them on the new lease form. It's an FSU facility or FSU center, and the one on the second floor in the Morgan building. So they still had two option years left on their lease. We just put it in the new form and kept all the terms the same. So, and I did also advise them that in future renewals they will be getting an increase. Talked about the we did that one. And just for information, we are in the process of bidding out the landscaping services. It's going to be less than $50,000, so we're doing an informal bid under our new and improved purchasing policy. We are in the process of getting three informal bids, and we will, because it's more than $10,000, we will be presenting the options to the board for their approval at a future date.
Expect the existing company to rebid?
We actually had a meeting yesterday. Stephanie is running the bid process, and she had a meeting yesterday with the bidders, and the incumbent did show up, so that's good. Actually, they said,
do you have how many potential?
It's just three. We invited three. Okay. This is not a publicly announced RFP. That's the difference between the informal bid and the RFP. So Stephanie basically said, here are three really good companies that she's worked with in the past, including the incumbent company. And the incumbent company sent their big dog to the meeting. So I think they're serious about trying to retain it. And not to mention, they also spruced up the place really nicely before the meeting. You know how that works.
Yeah. Are you comfortable with the existing tenant for the contract?
I am. It's Stephanie's the one that has to manage them, and she's the one, and she's on top of them. I mean, she's done a great job. I mean, there's more oversight than we've had in a long time. Where she's on them, she knows when they're working and when they're not. She has had some positives to say about some other companies that do some things a little bit better. So we'll see. But that other company tends not to be the lowest cost either. So I told her, I said, I haven't noticed anything so bad that I wouldn't go with a low-cost bid. But if you want to make that case, you're going to have to come in with some strong information, because it's not, I mean, cost is obviously very important to us in here. And I have not seen anything that's just, you know.
They've also helped with sponsorship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not that that's part of the bid process, I get that, but it's nice.
It's noteworthy.
Yeah, it is. So anyway, that process is ongoing. While we're talking about bids, I'm going to jump down to H&I. The last time we did the renewal for general counsel, the board directed that this time around we do an RFQ. And we will certainly do that if it's still the wish of the board. I always like to bring that back up because, you know, board members change, things change. But I'm going to make one case here, okay? And I know we all love the public bid process, and we...
we do.
But at least those of us in government...
He's looking at me.
but let me just make the case that when it comes to general counsel, okay, this is not... It's not about price. I mean, not to mention we actually have a really, really good price. It is about their understanding of what we do and how we do it. I've had the opportunity to work with now three different general counsels. And I can tell you right now, we have by far the best, most reasonably priced, most cost conscious, yet most thoroughly informed about what we do, counseled of all three of them.
And available.
I knew you stick with what you got if you got all that going.
And that's my point. I don't know what we would do better. I mean, that's the whole, if the intent of the public bid is to see what we could get better, I just find
I think if you don't have any questions about the advice that you're getting and the recommendations that you need to follow, I wouldn't change.
Is there anything that requires us to do it by statute, to put it out to bid?
I think our policy just says we are required to review. Mm-hmm. Okay, it doesn't say we're required to bid. It just says every 3 years we are required to, at a minimum, to review contracts.
Well, I know how I feel about it.
I know how I feel about it as well. What's the process that would need to go? Would the board need to approve it, or would this committee be able to do that?
Upon your recommendation, I would put it at least on the consent agenda for the next time to agree, since the board had given that direction in the past.
I hear a motion over here. I hear a second over here. Mm-hmm. Those in favor of recommending to the board that we retain general counsel that presently is contracted with us for an additional year? Is that what you want?
Yes.
For an additional year.
And I have not had any conversation with council about their desire, but...
Yeah. Well, you know, they have a few things to say about you.
It just
those
makes sense.
Those in favor, see aye. Opposed, aye. Motion carries. Okay. Property management.
That one is due as well. This one is a little more complicated. I don't think it is wise to not do the RFQ on this, or the RFP, I'm sorry. I've already been contacted by one of the bidders from last time who says, when's it coming out? And I think we need to do this. I just wanted to advise you that's the situation and you know, get your concurrence that it's time to go ahead and do the RFP.
How much is that contract?
It is about 80, I want to say 84,000, something like that.
That's a lot of money.
For both property and
account.
And account. So, you know, basically they're providing a like 21-hour a week person.
dedicated to the maintenance here, and we get a lot out of them now that we didn't used to get, and I insisted that they make some changes because we have a maintenance person who actually does stuff. Mm-hmm. He fixes stuff. He doesn't just oversee contractors who fix things.
How many hours a week on bookkeeping?
The county side is probably not huge. It's just mostly bill paying. I love their system. It's easy for me to oversee what's going on there.
About 10 hours a week?
I doubt it. I doubt it's even that much. But they also do our payroll.
Many transactions.
So twice a month payroll. And I forget the exact allocation of the dollars, but
do you need any action from this board, this committee, to proceed?
I just want your concurrence that it's time to proceed.
Any oppositions to that?
No, I mean, I just to be fair, I think having an RFP isn't just if you're completely dissatisfied with the person you have. It is an opportunity, since we're a public body, to open it to the public. I feel in a really good position to judge the quality of our legal services, and so I'm very comfortable saying I think we've got what we need for that, and there's no point in going through it for this, for the management. I rely so much on you, Ron, and I think what you're saying is we need to look at it, and it's time, and so I'd be perfectly much in favor of that.
I hear no objection. Proceed.
Okay.
All right.
Just to... 2 seconds. You just made both arguments on council for why we might want to extend something, but the second argument, that historic perspective, this is what Ron's kind of mentioning, that I think we have leaned more towards doing the RFPs more often, making sure that we keep good checks and balances, we are public, things were just kind of resting in place prior to 2010, quite frankly. So I think we're in a good place. I agree with the balance. The property, if we remember the last time, there was some confusion, and I'm not saying on our part or anything like that, but I think there's a lot more attention to this one, and there's a lot of new players. I think it's also fair to say that Tapwater has stepped it up on property management and oversight.
And this is not anything bad about Tapwater or anything like that.
I think our policy is generally that we need to take things out for RFP on a regular basis.
Yes.
The legal general counsel situation is a bit different because the history is so important and the following through of cases that are active and so forth.
The real difference is on the personal service side. I mean, one is a very personal, this person provides this service, and the other, it's a firm, it's a bunch of people, it's how they work together, it's a different kind of volume. So I have that. Thank you. And finally, on the FAMU EDA grant agreement, we we are going round and round in circles with FAMU, trying to figure out exactly what they want from us in order for them to give us $45,000 over 3 years, so $15,000 for 3 years.
A year for three years,
yeah. And this has to do with their EDA grant that they receive, and the grant is... about creating this organization called REACH, which is a regional
entrepreneurship
effort. Trying to create more collaboration. Try to create more collaboration among all the different entrepreneurship pieces in the community and in the region. And so we're trying to figure out exactly what they want from us. The way it was presented to us initially was, hey, we're going to put you in this application, some free money. If we get it, here it is. And now they're coming back and saying, oh, we want you to build a mentor network. We want you to do this. We want you to do that. And we're saying, fine, we're going to do all those things because that's what he's doing. And just tell me how I need to write the scope. And so we're trying to work with them to get that set up. Because I'm not trying to add a bunch of new stuff. But if it fits within what we're doing, we will do that. But
it gives me a slight amount of pinkiness if somebody comes back and audits the grant and says, you're doing all this? And then they go, oh, yeah, we do that anyway.
No, we're doing it anyway. It's we're going to do it. We're going to have to do it anyway.
Yeah.
But the question is, how do we write it in such a way that we can make sure that we're going to be able to deliver what we say we're going to deliver?
Right.
And that it actually satisfies their grant application or their grant agreement that we're doing what needs to be done. So it's just trying to get clarity from
Research Entrepreneurship and Commercialization Hub.
Okay, so we're on that.
Restrooms?
Yeah, I gotta go.
Okay.
Yeah, we're all
through. Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Restrooms?
Working on it. I'll just say that we have gone in and done a little deeper dive. Sorry, not to make that visual, but the Talcor is actually going to manage this as a repair process. So we're going to get, we'll use within our purchasing policy, we're going to go individually contract and get bids, get three quotes on each component that we're going to do, whether it's the floors or the partitions.
And that's here.
And that's in the Morgan building.
Oh, the Morgan building.
So if you recall, the board approved $100,000 to renovate the four restrooms in Fuquay atrium area, and then also the four restrooms in the Morgan building because they're old and dank. But we've taken a look at what we really need to replace because, you know, we've replaced some toilets over time. Some of them don't need to be, some do. The floors, we don't really have to strip all the way down. There's some other molding stuff that we can do around the edges. So after taking a closer look and getting contractors out there, we kind of have a different scope of work. It's probably still going to cost $100,000, but Talcor is going to manage the process in such a way that it's really more of a repair of the existing facilities and having to go out and bid to a contractor who can manage the whole process. We're going to do it in two stages. We're going to do the Fuquay first. That way, when we take down the Morgan restrooms, they can go outside to the Fuquay, the nice new Fuquay atrium area to use those restrooms.
While they're doing that, they can go outside, is what you're saying?
Well, they can go outside, right. And they can go in the atrium.
Improvements.
So anyway, just to let you know, that process is moving. Maybe not as fast as I like, but it's moving. And that is all I have.
Okay, thank you. Any questions of our executive director? Hearing none, we're going to go to Denise. Good morning. Good afternoon now. Excuse me.
All right. I will be quick. I'll go over events first. Tech grant applications are due on Monday. I have 10 companies so far who are planning to submit. And mark your calendars for May 16th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. will be our tech grant pitch night. And I will also be reaching out to everybody for sponsorships because I need money.
We did get a commitment yesterday from Hancock Bank, and she increased the cost to $2,000 from $1,500
for the presenting sponsors.
For the presenting sponsors. So.
And then Tech Topics is March 28th. It's going to be at HPMI. Frank Allen's going to give an overview, and then we are also having a presentation on this new technology that they've been developing, which is they're using razor-thin bucky paper to create new motion sensors that can be used in smartwatches and stuff for the future. While we're there, they can also give a tour to people who haven't been there. On to actual marketing stuff. I created the booklet that is right here that was given to the ACE tour, and OEV has been requesting many more to be provided. So it's been successful so far. I think it's really great with
Very
it.
Great. Well, great response to it.
Yes. And then last week, I officially launched our new website. It is completely different than what we had before. I'd say probably all 75% is new material. One of the biggest things that I did is I did away with the lcrda.org website. It is an automatic redirect. It is still not so.
We're making a stealth name change.
Yes.
This is awesome.
I like it.
So we have an automatic redirect to the Leon County Research and Development Authority. Within the parameters that they require on the website with committees, different things, all of that's on there. But I've also made LCRDA very prominent on the homepage just to make sure people understand that
Same thing.
So this is the LCRDA part. I have Board of Governors, team, committees, resources. These are all compiled into one. It's much more visual and interactive, so I can kind of show you down here.
It looks great, Steve.
It does. Just a nice, clean, crisp look.
Yeah, and I've also created an interactive map, which I'm hoping, I had to redo last night, so I'm really hoping this works.
Who did the website?
I did.
She's been working on this for a while.
I've been working.
Yeah.
This is very well done.
Thank you. I actually, at your suggestion, I did get a graphic designer to finish the book for me. I did all the content, and then I worked with them to get everything done. So this is all very comprehensive. It all comes together.
And just so you know, she's totally blown our budget on the marketing stuff and has already seen how much more she's going to ask for next year. Yeah. So just
that's pretty that. Important, though. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So says the marketing PR person.
Yes.
We will all say that. Yeah, I mean, this, as we get more programs, yeah. we got to have a way to tell the story.
Yeah. Yeah. And then another thing that I've also done at the request of actually Faye Gibson at the College of Engineering is... people within the park, residents, can actually submit their news to us, and we will add it to our calendar as well.
Good idea.
Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of different things like that. And then I've also redone doing business, adding in tech transfer, other resources. And another component that I've seen other research parks do, and also Michael suggested it, was I added a donate button. this is kind of just saying contact us to donate. But eventually what I want to do is I want to get our website secure because we don't have an actual SSL certificate. But then they'll be able to pay for events online. They'll be able to donate online. Right. They'll be able to do everything. But I've also kind of added in also more of our value proposition of why people should come to Innovation Park with...
some of the materials are basically in that book.
Exactly. So I put those together to kind of make sure everything is...
Marketing material, yeah. The same message. Wow.
Yes.
That's
right.
It's called integrated marketing.
And share this page to the bottom.
Thank you. You're doing an excellent job with all this.
Thank you.
You have skills that I would never, ever dream to have myself.
All in one person.
It's all part of a teamwork.
Well, this is kind of the front end. I have to, this is probably going to be an ongoing effort that I'm going to do for a while. I'm going to be doing a platform with STEM in the park, with education and working with the Mad Lab and other people. That's going to take a while to do. I'm also going to be adding a blog so that we keep our content pretty consistent and up to date. And exactly. And I actually am going to be working on creating a brand new SEO strategy that I can implement into the website, because I actually don't have any meta descriptions or keywords done just yet. It mm-hmm. was completely wiped out with the other website. So that's going to be a long, ongoing effort. And I also have 2,034 redirects that I need to fix. So I will be working on that. From the old website, and then just a couple on the new one. But this is...
huge.
Yeah, and I think it makes a lot more sense. The information is... more relevant than what was on the old website, and it's not repetitive in multiple places.
And it's mobile responsive.
It is on tablets and on phones.
Great.
So
awesome job.
Yes, woo-hoo. Great job.
Thank you.
And let me add, I didn't tell you this. I met with David Pollard from the airport this week.
Good.
And so we started talking about how we can start working together a little bit better, and particularly talking about their contract with CBRE. Their marketing contract that they have with them, and he's, I think, in the process of reevaluating that contract.
Is he the interim guy?
He's an interim. He also wants to bring his staff over here for an orientation session.
And I actually got a message from Laura Brown. We're going to be putting our rep cards at the airport as well.
So I just thought of something when you said that. I've seen electronic signboards that are donated to the airport, and they'll put them in the hallways because they're always looking for something.
Well, that was part of the conversation that Dave and I had. He's in the process of putting together a bunch of stakeholders to come to a meeting there to talk about the opportunities, not for marketing necessarily, but for display. Okay, and they do have the monitors in the airport. And in the past, they did the deal with the EDC. We did the video, and they stuck the video on the sidewall. And if you are like me and happen to notice yourself up there, you stop and look at it. I didn't see anybody else looking at it. It's some of its positioning, you know, what we call dwell places. So either at the gates or baggage claim.
Charging stations.
Yeah. So that's coming up. So we're gonna be a part of that. Right now, Danfoss has a display there.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of looking at how that's going to work. So there will be some opportunities for us, I think, at the airport here pretty soon. Not just in that, but also in looking at how we market together. So,
having gone through it last night, the improvements look much, much better. It's getting there. So this is great. two things on airport. I think in June, the programming for the economic development dollars, $13 million dedicated to the airport, I think about $8 million to the infrastructure around the airport proper, another $5 million for the that $8 million is with customs.
Yeah.
That's part of the foreign trade zone application and building the customs, and that's huge for import export, or really importing things and manufacturing things in the foreign trade zone. But no, the $5 million is for an industrial park across the street. And this is something we talked about with Ben years ago when EDC existed. This may just come up in the programming dollars, and I've teed it up for a conversation with Ben again. Okay. So just keep an eye on that as you're talking to David, and Chamber's looking at independent airport authority on where the city is, but
yeah,
I don't think that disrupts.
Probably against it, aren't you?
Likely, but I'm not sure we know anything right now, but where they are.
Steve Evans actually suggested that I get involved with that. And I'm like, I agree. I think that politically that's not the place to be.
I think we just need to be supportive both ways and look for opportunities on both ends.
I agree.
All right, let me run one more thought by this board and see, or this committee, and get your thought process. One of the things that I think would be interesting to our board,
that's great, Denise.
And would also be a little bit of outreach, would be to take one or two of our remaining board meetings that I'll have a chance to chair and locate those in other facilities here on the park. For instance, the aerospace, aero propulsion building, if they would allow us to use their boardroom or their committee room and then incorporate either before or after the meeting a tour of their facility, I think it'd give our board members a little better perspective of what is here in the park and what tenants are doing in this park. What is the thought process of other members of this committee?
Could not agree more.
Yeah, we've done stuff like that before, but it's been a long time.
Okay.
Effort MagLab, yeah, Starbucks.
Yeah, they're actually going to be starting their internal renovations inside, so by maybe like August, that'd be a good time, because they'll have all that done by then, hopefully.
All right, then let's elevate this a little bit more to the regular board. Let's put this on the agenda just as an opinion. A comfort level with it, and we'll see where we go. Is there other business to come before the committee?
The only caution I would have on that is we're two board meetings. We did have a board meeting at the end of the year, and we went to Sid Martin for our last one, so I would defer to Ron on when the timing of that board meeting happens, because we have so much business to get through right now.
I think we've got them on the calendar, don't we?
Oh, we do, but just adding to a board meeting with a tour or something else like that. Just making sure that we have...
No, you're going to have to use your own time for that. That doesn't come out of board time.
Okay, that's fine. That was it. But I just know, I mean, we're on a roll right now that we need the time in the board meeting to do
the
a lot of stuff.
We would do the unofficial after the meeting closes. Those who would care to attend and stay, I would think it ought to be something in the time of a 30-minute to a 40-minute walk through it. A presentation by perhaps one of their people. Maybe that could be a 5-minute piece into the board. Gary Ostrander has also said he'd be happy to come to our board one day and give us a 5 or 10 or 15-minute update on what all the FSU thought process here in this park is and where they're going with it.
That'd be awesome.
We should do
that. So, those are some things I'm thinking about. I'll get with Ron and we'll make sure this item is on the agenda. I'll also get with Ron and see if we can squeeze Gary Ostrander in at one of the meetings coming up, and we'll go from there. I want to thank our staff. Peggy, you did a marvelous job of getting us down to Sid Martin and on the bus and something. A good lunch. Well, I guess he provided lunch, but you made sure you got it there on time, I guess, or whatever. But
most importantly, I don't know.
Everything except the air conditioning on the bus was perfect.
And nobody mentioned that out in the community. Nobody
at all. Denise, you do an excellent job with this process. I'm proud of everybody on the team. We have an extraordinary team now. I am really proud of our staff. I'm really proud of the teamwork effort and how it seems like everyone's working in harmony to get the job done. So thank you all. If there's no other business to, oh, there is.
Just last thing on the record, I got a cold call from Ted Thomas with NEBA asking for Michael to present on April 24th, which is great. We teed this up a while back, saw the bio.
Who is NEBA?
Northeast Business. It used to be Northeast Business. Now it's Network of Entrepreneur and Business Associations. About 100 plus business folks at Capital City Country Club. If you're on other boards, Rotary, other things like that, not that you all don't have enough to do, but in the next year, getting out in front of other business groups would be good.
Yes.
Yeah.
We were adjourned.
Thank you all.
Thank you.